99.5 FM, WBAI, and 99.5 FM, WBAI New York, and WBAI.org. The program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back next week. And it is 5 a.m. and time for Back of the Book.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
And on this first try at the new year, I'm pretty sure it's most probably 5 o'clock in the morning, and you're listening to all watching the right wing devour the Republican Party radio, WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things on this program. You can find out a little bit more about what we're going to talk about by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen. At the top of that, it will say latest Back of the Book program links. Click on that. You will get to the web page for this morning's radio program. This is our 120th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times, and they're still dangerous. And the top story in the entire local group of galaxies for this week is... On Twitter, we're still holding at the huge number of 120 followers. And yes, I know that we have definitely lost some followers to people de-twittering, because one person who also is a producer here at BAI told me he's out of Twitter. So yes, he was a follower and he's gone. He doesn't get to see those wonderful tweets I do. Oh, well, we'll see what happens. Twitter is now showing images that aren't fully loaded, and it's odd to me. There's a load image button on the images, and I have to click on that to get the images to show up at full resolution, because otherwise they're blurry and fuzzy. I'm wondering if Twitter owner Elon Musk, whose name is an anagram for Leon Scum, is making the Twitter servers more efficient by not loading images fully. Or maybe I just clicked on something and changed how the images get rendered for me. I don't know. Nobody else seems to know either. So that's it. Oh, well, if somebody else is seeing this same thing, write to me, rpm@glib.com, and let me know about it. And we want to thank Reggie Johnson of the operations crew, who also does From the Soundboard Tuesdays at midnight, for getting us on the air last week. Without Reggie, we wouldn't have gotten on the air.
Thank you, Reggie.
The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, January 11th, 2023, at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 663,480,285 on Friday, and global deaths reached 6,704,271. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 101,194,443, and the death toll in America had reached 1,096,279. So 3,657 people have died of COVID-19 in America in the last week. And that's 1,168 more deaths than the previous week, or around a third more than last week's death toll. The pandemic is not over. Pickles of the North and I are still keeping our masks on. We've both gotten our bivalent vaccinations. We are not among those who are saying that getting a COVID-19 infection is like getting a cold. I bet that 3,657 people didn't die this past week from colds. We may be seeing another surge now that winter is really with us. Meanwhile, people who are opposed to vaccines of any kind are still preaching their pseudoscience and probably causing even more unnecessary deaths. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course. This was all mostly preventable. Say, did you hear about GRB221009, hey? Yes, that's the name of a gamma ray burst called a GRB. What's a gamma ray? Well, a gamma ray is a subatomic particle of a particular kind. A gamma ray is the highest energy electromagnetic wave there is. And gamma rays kind of occupy an interesting place in the universe. We've talked recently about Einstein's formula, E equals mc squared, which relates energy and matter as equivalent, where you have a huge amount of energy in small bits of matter. And, well, a gamma ray kind of really exemplifies that, because a gamma ray is in the spectrum of electromagnetic waves, and it starts out with low stuff like low-frequency radio. Eventually, it gets to really great radio in about the 3-meter band. What's in the 3-meter band? WBAI, New York. And you then go higher up, you get into microwaves and things like that, and then you get into X-rays. X-rays are also electromagnetic waves. Eventually, at the top of the spectrum, you get into gamma rays. A gamma ray usually comes out of the nucleus of an atom where something decays. That's what usually happens. But more energetic events can generate them. And what happens with a gamma ray is, while it's electromagnetic energy, it also behaves like a solid rock. It is really, it does things. That's why it can be so damaging. For instance, there are different kinds of subatomic particles, which got called rays because the first time they were seeing stuff like this was when a scientist named Becquerel in France left a rock, a bit of uranium ore, in his desk drawer, and it happened to be on top of an unexposed photographic plate. And he went and developed the photographic plate, and it was fogged up to hell and gone. And, gee, it sort of has some outline that kind of looks like, could that be? And yeah, it sort of looked like maybe that rock was doing something to the photographic plate. So they tried it again. They put the rock on a photographic plate, left it there for some amount of time, then developed the photographic plate, and there it was again. So that showed, wow, we have something from this rock, something invisible is going through the protective barriers for the film, because you don't just leave the film out or the light will expose it and it's ruined. So they have this pretty good amount of stuff in there to keep the light out. And this stuff, something, went through it and exposed the plate. So they referred to those as Becquerel rays, after the guy who had discovered it. And of course, we know later on we had the Curies. They went and they got radium, and they refined it out of an awful lot of pitch blende. And they said, wow, here's radium. And radium you could put in a vial and it would light up. And you, there are images of people in lecture halls, and there's a little vial of radium, and they've darkened the lecture hall. And there's a little vial of radium on the podium or desk or whatever you call it. I can't remember what they call that. In college, I remember it used to have like a it was a flat top where they could demonstrate various chemistry things, and it also had like a sink on it so I could wash things off, I guess. Anyway, so there's the image of that on there, and all these guys are crowding around. They've darkened the room, and it's lighting up the room. And the first thing I thought when I saw that is, these guys are making a big mistake. That's radium. That's not kid stuff. You guys are getting irradiated. And yeah, they were. And various people did over time get irradiated by radium, especially the young women who were painting radium dials on watches. That was a big thing for a while. Get a radium dial on your watch. You could see it in the dark. And the great thing was these men would then put it in their watch pocket, which is quite close to the old gonads. And, oh, I wonder how many sadnesses came out of that proximity. In any event, so they started calling them rays because they were calling them Becquerel rays. And so first they figured out there was an alpha ray. And they said, here's this ray. It's an alpha ray. Then they experimented some more, and they did things with magnetic fields and stuff like that. And they discovered, and now there's a beta ray. A beta ray will, you know, curve in a magnetic field. And eventually, they were even able to find gamma rays, because those things were just very different. The alpha ray is actually the nucleus of an ordinary helium atom. It's two protons and two neutrons, and it doesn't have any electrons around it because it's moving, and it moves out. And that thing you can block. You could block an alpha ray with a piece of paper because it's just so big, and it's not quite harmless, but almost, as long as it's not in you. If something that emits alpha rays gets into your body, you have a big problem because it's still emitting the alpha rays, but it's in there. And an alpha ray, an alpha particle, we call it now, that thing inside a cell is kind of like driving a truck through your DNA. It just, you know, or maybe compare it to a bowling ball hitting a bunch of bowling pins and blasting them out of the way. Because it's a heavy particle. It's a very heavy particle. That's why it moves slowly and is not that penetrative, generally. And then you've got the beta rays. The beta rays are electrons. They're electrons that are moving fast. In fact, the old cathode ray tube, the TV monitors that some of we old folks remember from the 20th century, those things are essentially working on beta rays, painting a screen for you. Then you get up to the gamma rays with all of that tremendous energy, because they're pretty much also matter. They straddle the definition between very high energy and matter. And they can behave like either matter or energy when they hit something. So when they hit something, they don't get stopped easily by a piece of paper like an alpha ray would. A gamma ray will plow through a hell of a lot. You can be standing a few feet away from a gamma ray emitter, and it can punch right through into you and come out your back and irradiate the person in back of you, too. It'll irradiate both of you quite nicely. Gamma rays are very powerful, penetrating radiation. So people have been, you know, looking at them for, well over a century. And one of the things that happens with gamma rays is they're a sure sign that something very energetic has happened. Very energetic as in atomic bombs. And so one of the things that happened was, you'll remember, there was nuclear testing in the atmosphere and underground in the 40s and 50s and 60s. Oh, I remember this stuff. I remember strontium-90 in the milk. And so there were treaties drawn up between the United States and others and the Soviet Union that we wouldn't test in the atmosphere anymore. This was one of those things that were discovered that said, geez, you better stop doing this stuff. You're going to kill everybody. So everybody stopped it. There was a treaties about it, and it's illegal to do. And so they had these satellites called the Vela satellites, V-E-L-A, Vela satellites, and they were in orbit around the Earth to make sure nobody was cheating. You know, you don't want to trust. Or as Reagan would say, trust but verify. That's what they were doing. And they had these Vela satellites in orbit around the Earth. And then in 1967, they discovered a burst of gamma rays. And they were saying, oh, somebody's cheated, because there's a bunch of gamma rays here. And they were looking, and it was thought it was somewhere in the South Atlantic Ocean. Somebody had tested an atomic bomb. And, oh, boy, there were accusations and denials and this, that, and the other thing. And so these Vela satellites are giving this information about an illegal nuclear weapons test. Well, people kept looking at this. Further research revealed that a space probe orbiting the planet Venus had detected the same gamma ray burst. And, of course, an atomic bomb test on Earth isn't going to register in Venus. So, you know, in orbit around Venus. So they said, geez, this is some kind of a thing that's obviously extraterrestrial. And that's where we get the gamma ray burst, also referred to as a GRB. And so more research is done to say, what the hell is this kind of thing? And they kept doing research, and they started finding more of these things. And so they set up specific satellites looking for gamma ray bursts, and they were finding them. And this is something that has been a real mystery for years and years. And there were different durations. You had, for instance, a fast gamma ray burst, which would last for a fraction of a second and be gone. And you would have a medium-sized one, which would last for a few seconds. A long one would last a couple of minutes of gamma rays just raining down. And scientists had lots of theories about what these gamma ray bursts might just be. Over the years, the research was done, and scientists theorized that these bursts, these short duration bursts, generally they're a few seconds long, a little bit longer maybe, they come from two neutron stars colliding and blasting out energy. Now, neutron stars, they're just short of a black hole. A neutron star is usually created by a supernova where a big, big, heavy star explodes. And it compresses its core tremendously, and all you have left is neutrons, because electrons and protons are crushed. And all you can have is the neutrons, which can resist the gigantic gravity of a neutron star. A neutron star can be, it will be, several times the mass of the sun, and it will be 12 miles wide. That's a very dense thing. Think about something that's, you know, 12 miles in diameter. And think about that being, you know, some number of times the mass of the sun. That's what a neutron star is. And the reason it has neutrons is basically because electrons and protons keep everything from collapsing in a normal star by their electrical charge. In a neutron star, the gravity is so tremendous that it overcomes the electric charges of the protons and neutrons, but it can't quite overcome the resistance of the neutrons. It can crush down the protons and electrons. There are no atoms in these things anymore. By the time it gets like this, you don't have atoms. You have electrons, protons, neutrons, and the charged particles just can't stand up to this much gravitational force. But the neutrons can, for a while. And so that's what happens with the neutron stars. And the theory came up that the fast gamma ray bursts, as they were called, were caused by two neutron stars colliding. And what happens then is a gigantic amount of energy is released, and they also, by merging, the odds are very high that they're not going to make a bigger neutron star. The odds are very high that now you have a black hole. And you may remember a few years ago, there was this big announcement that the LIGO instrument had detected something happening. LIGO is this instrument set up. It's miles and miles long, and it fires lasers at right angles to each other, and it looks to see if things warp, if space warps. And that's because gravity doesn't pull things. Gravity changes space. Gravity bends space. And so they were looking for evidence of things that would bend space. And there was a theory that there such things would happen. And LIGO did that. They detected it a few years ago, and they said, yeah, and that's what they detected, a pair of neutron stars merging. And you got this gravitational wave going through everything and through the Earth. And because they had the instrument, it's odd to call it an instrument, it's miles and miles long, and you have this instrument, and they are measuring the way the laser light is landing on certain optical things. And what happens is they were able to detect, yeah, something happened. One of those 90-degree legs was suddenly shorter or longer than the other one. And they could detect that, and that was a deal where two neutron stars had merged. And I'm looking at a Scientific American article from January 2023, how fitting. And it's it also talks about there are also long-duration gamma ray bursts. They last several minutes, and they come from massive stars exploding at the ends of their lives. The core of the star collapses, forming a black hole. And so this is a different way to have it. You can have two neutron stars merging, or a really humongous star can just blow up, because that's how it works. We've discussed supernovas before. They use up all their nuclear fuel, and now there's no way to resist the gravity. And so it just crushes down. And a lot of material is left over after the core of this huge star collapses. And if it's not immediately sucked into the black hole, it forms an accretion disk around the black hole, and it beams out two beams of extremely high energy. We've talked about this before. And that goes out into space. And basically what happens with the star version of this, the tremendous energy that's getting blasted out from the accretion disk, because, again, it's going around a black hole that has suddenly formed, and owing to various things which are not fully understood, but probably have to do with magnetic fields, which I also think have to do with matter crashing into each other so hard that what you have is not like, you certainly don't have atoms, you don't have neutrons and protons and electrons. I suspect you end up with quarks, because this is a reaction that takes E equals MC square and makes it happen very efficiently. Basically, it's many, many times more efficient than any reactor or hydrogen bomb we can create. So these jets come out from the system, which is the black hole, its event horizon, and the accretion disk. And this stuff goes out. And, of course, there's still matter around this collapsed star, because usually a big star doesn't just go suddenly. It sputters a bit for a while, might sputter for thousands of years. And every time it sputters, it throws matter out. Plus, the event here we're talking about happens in an extremely short period of time. So the actual matter of the big star hasn't all collapsed. Some of it is still being blown off, but it ain't going all that fast. So basically, they say in Scientific American that this funnels twin teams of intense energy out into space, one pointing up and the other pointing down from the disk, and these beams eat their way through the dying star and erupt outward while the rest of the star explodes in a very powerful supernova. So this event happens in, again, sometimes seconds, sometimes some minutes. But think about blasting through a star with energy. Oh, man. And one of the things about gamma ray bursts, when you have either of these things going on, especially the two neutron stars merging, is in a few seconds, they emit as much energy as the sun will emit over its entire lifespan. That's about 12 billion years or more. So think of how powerful the sun is, how much energy it's putting out, and over 12 billion years of that, plus, by the way, the sun is going to get more energetic as time goes on, over 12 billion years, it puts out all this energy, and a gamma ray burst puts out the same amount of energy in seconds. This is one of those mind-blowing things about the goddamn universe. Anyway, so scientists watch for these things. They watch for gamma ray bursts. And in October of last year, they found one, and it was the closest one ever. A gamma ray burst happened, and through various means we'll talk about in a bit, they were able to figure out that it's 1.9 to 2 billion light years away, which is very close. It's the closest one they've ever found. And so this is huge, and it's very bright, of course, because it's so much closer than the others. And basically, it's the brightest such event ever seen in X-rays and gamma rays. In fact, it was so bright that people were able to spot the visible light emission in smaller amateur telescopes. And it was also able to physically affect our upper atmosphere. Oh, ho, ho. That's one of the amazing things here from this closest gamma ray burst ever seen. It was noted that lightning detectors in India and Germany showed that the way pulses of electromagnetic radiation from lightning propagated suddenly changed at the same time that the gamma ray burst energy hit our planet. And it says in Scientific American, these pulses indicate conditions in Earth's upper atmosphere changed with electrons suddenly stripped from their host atoms. This isn't the first time this has happened. Another gamma ray burst happened a few years ago. It was farther away, but it was still able to somewhat ruffle the outer parts of the Earth's atmosphere. And, you know, you think about something billions of light years away that is so powerful that it can just ruffle it. And here, it's not just ruffling it a bit. It's stripping the electrons off the atoms in the outer atmosphere. Tremendously wild stuff here with how powerful these goddamn things are. And they can, it also helped to illustrate the some things in the Milky Way galaxy. We're in the Milky Way galaxy. And it showed some structures that hadn't been seen before. Because what happens is, the gamma rays come out, and they're not just hitting the Earth. They're sweeping over the galaxy. And you can imagine that, you know, things spread out. An explosion spreads out. This thing's been spreading out for 2 billion years. So it's pretty light stuff. It is not nearly the power that it had 2 billion years ago. But it's still so powerful that when it hits various clouds of matter in the galaxy, and there are all sorts of clouds. You've got various gases. You've probably all seen pictures of nebulae and stuff like the Orion Nebula, and it's got all sorts of colors, and stars are born inside of it. But you have other dark clouds around. You'll have a carbon monoxide cloud. You'll have a hydrogen cloud. They're very common, and things like that. And when they get hit, they get excited by these gamma rays, and you can subtly detect something that you hadn't known was there before. So it shows up stuff that's in our galaxy that we hadn't seen. And so this tremendous explosion from gamma ray burst, GRB221009A, has really given a lot of scientists a huge amount of stuff to look at, because they've never been able to look at something, one of these things, that's so close. And they can get more details as they study the various things that were recording this explosion. So there's going to be more science on this. Of course, let's put a downer in here. We're very lucky these things happened so far away and so long ago. It's been theorized that maybe one of the mass extinctions on the Earth could have been caused by one of these millions and millions of years ago. And it's also theorized, therefore, that if one of these things happened in the Milky Way galaxy, and if one of the poles were pointed toward us, one of those beams, well, that would be it. That would be a mass extinction event again on the planet Earth, and the top of the food chain suffers the most in those things. However, if you're not in the way of the beam, and again, the beams only come out of essentially the top and bottom of the black hole system, which consists of the singularity at the center of the black hole, the event horizon, and the accretion disk of stuff running around it. And of course, the accretion disk gets sucked not only into the black hole, but also onto event horizon. And because of various things that are not fully understood, it whirls around at the sort of the top and bottom. You know, you could imagine a twirling thing has a top and a bottom to it. And these rays, the gamma rays, go flying out in those ways. So if one of those beams were able to intersect the Earth, that would be it. Oh, well, what a wonderful universe. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. Ah, somebody has gone where the goblins go. Yes, we're talking about Joseph Ratzinger, formerly Pope Benedict the 16th. This awful guy. He was a right-wing pope. He was a theologian, and he was also sort of a rarity in that he didn't go out and do stuff with people. Priests usually do stuff with people, and then they become bishops. They're still doing, and when they become cardinals, they're still dealing with people a whole lot, and you know, parishes and churches and that sort of thing, and. This guy was an academic and a theologian and a right-wing theologian and an all-round bad guy. And, oh boy, he was anti-gay. He was just anti-everything. And he was a very bad person. And, you know, it's to be expected since he used to be a Hitler Youth member. And so Joseph Ratzinger ended up becoming a cardinal, and he was appointed by John Paul II, who filled up the College of Cardinals in the Catholic Church with as many right-wing guys as he could. JP2, as he was called, was from Poland, and they got some right-wingers there, and he was one of them. And so he was packing the College of Cardinals with right-wing cardinals. And he did that a whole lot, and he got what he wanted. He got this right-wing cardinal who was, in fact, in charge of the institution that used to be called the Society for the Propagation of the Faith. And this was something that was brought into existence a long time ago. It's the organization from which the word propaganda comes. They were doing many notable things, especially things like, oh, the Spanish Inquisition and torturing people to death, burning people at the stake, all those lovely, holy things. Ratzinger was the guy in charge of that. Now, he didn't get to burn anybody at the stake. I think he wanted to. And however, he did have all of these very rigid, right-wing, bad guy ways of looking at things like people. And so he was right in there. And of course, the College of Cardinals, after John Paul II kicked the holy bucket, they elected Joseph Ratzinger. And he went on to be a really bad guy, again, anti-gay, very anti-gay. I mean, the whole church is anti-gay still, but at least Pope Francis, you know, said, yeah, we shouldn't bother people too much at one point on a plane. You know, not a great ringing endorsement, but it's better than, yeah, we should hunt them down and exterminate all of them as painfully as possible, which is sort of like other people's positions. And anyway, so Ratzinger became Pope, and he did his awful stuff, and he became unpopular. And one of the lovely things he did was ignore the sexual abuse of kids by priests, which kind of is, you know, not surprising, because the priests are told you have to be celibate, you have to be male, you have to be celibate, so you can never get laid. masturbation is a big mortal sin and all of this stuff. And, geez, so there are all these men and they're horny as hell and they can't get their rocks off. And then they're put in charge of kids. And they start looking at the kiddies, and some of the kiddies start looking pretty nice to them. And so, yes, there they go. We know all these stories that are happening. And he ignored that. Ratzinger, as Pope Benedict XVI, ignored that. And so he sort of fell out of favor because the church is getting its ass sued off because people are saying, this priest molested me when I was a kid, and you shouldn't get away with that. And they're suing. So, and it's happening all over the world. So Ratzinger had to resign, and he was the first pope to resign in like 600 years. And so then Francis took over. Francis himself has been packing the College of Cardinals because these cardinals are not a bunch of youngsters. So a lot of the ones that John Paul II threw in there, and some of the ones that Ratzinger threw in there, they've died by now. So you got vacancies. And Pope Francis has been throwing in less awful guys into being cardinals. So that's what's been going on. And we're very glad that Joseph Ratzinger is now going where the goblins go. And we have a tradition here. And let's hear it for former Pope Benedict XVI kicking that holy bucket. The Joseph Ratzinger witch. Pope Benedict the 16th witch. We hope the goblins enjoy his company.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
So we're recording this on Friday, and the stupid stuff in the House of Representatives is going on with Kevin McCarthy, who is supposed to be a shoo-in for Speaker of the House. So far, he has failed to get elected after 13 votes. The House will reconvene at 10 o'clock tonight, Friday night, and we aren't going to be able to say anything about that because this program has to get edited and posted before they hold the 14th election. And McCarthy is really selling parts of himself to the right-wing nutcases at quite a rate. And from the way he's giving into them and what he's allowing them, I don't know that he can even stay in there. It seems just bizarre and impossible that this can work out. And, of course, we've also seen this dope Santos lied his ass off to get elected. And there's also the question of how did he go from having to live with mommy to being able to put over $700,000 into his own campaign? Where did that money come from? So that's an open question, which I think is going to be pressed. And I don't think the Republicans in the House of Representatives are going to be able to stop that investigation. So, yeah, we may get some very interesting stuff about this very obviously lying Republican. And as we record this program, it's the second anniversary of the January 6th, 2021 insurrection. I was so angry 2 years ago right now. And I see that 950 of those insurrectionists have been arrested so far, and quite a number have been convicted, some of them getting some serious time, which they all should get. And today, this is Friday again that we're recording this, President Biden honored, quote, extraordinary Americans, unquote, who defended democracy against the January 6th attack by awarding people the Presidential Citizens Medal. And he awarded that to 14 people who did stuff to resist that attack on democracy from the Trump Republicans. No, that's not gamma radiation coming in here. Those aren't gamma rays being detected. That's us winding everything up so that we can start to pitch. We got our little pitching train that we need to get on here, and we're winding it up, and I think it's wound up, and yes, here comes the pitching train. Chugga, 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 chugga. Here we go. We're begging for bucks. This is listener-sponsored, non-commercial, WBAI New York. And we are, in fact, listener-sponsored. It's not just a slogan. It's an actual declaration of how we survive. We survive by being sponsored by the listeners. That's right. You, the listeners, sponsor this radio station. And we are going to be able to keep on pitching here because now we're back. I think the Tower Fund is over, I think. But that means we are going back to pitching BAI Buddies. Okay. And I want to, at the start here, note that for the Tower Fund, Tony was able to overcome some of the difficulties that he ran into in trying to make a donation, but he was able to donate to the Tower Fund through the call center. What is the call center? Well, the call center is what you'll be connected to when you call 1-212-209-2950. And somebody will pick up there, and you need to say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And a BAI buddy is the name we have for our sustaining membership here at WBAI. And you call them up, and you say you want to become a BAI buddy, and you tell them, you give them your credit card number, and you tell them how much you would like to donate on a monthly basis. That's what the sustaining membership is. And it can be $5 or $10 or $15 or $20, more if you want. I think, you know, $5 to $20 is what most of our listeners can afford. So 1-212-209-2950, that's the number we need you to call and say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And there you'll go. You'll become a BAI buddy of WBAI, and you'll do it in the name of this radio program, which is Back of the Book. So 1-212-209-2950. And yes, there's the bell saying it's time to call 1-212-209-2950 and say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And you also tell them what day of the month you want your debit card or credit card charged for whatever amount you're going to give on a monthly basis. That way it's at a convenient time for you. It's not some inconvenient time when you say, uh-oh, I'm not going to have enough money. 1-212-209-2950. And yes, we thank our various listeners who have, in fact, donated to Back of the Book and WBAI. And those people who've become BAI buddies, they get a BAI tote bag. Ooh, a BAI tote bag. 1-212-209-2950. That's the number we need you to call. We need you to call it right now. A part of what's happening here is we need to raise the money, not just to raise it for BAI, but to also raise it for Back of the Book so that management knows we have listeners. Management knows that Tony is a listener because he got the folks at the call center to take his donation for the Tower Fund. They also know that George and Bonnie from Northport are listeners, and they know that Michael from Valhalla is a listener, and that Dorothy from Little Neck is also a listener. They know that those folks are listeners to Back of the Book. It also is important to show management that the overnight radio programs have listeners, and listeners who care enough about the programming and about the radio station that carries the programming to donate. There are these proposals by people who say the easy thing to do is simply to rent out the midnight to 6 a.m. time slot on WBAI. It's very easy to do these days. A flip of a switch and somebody doing a podcast gets it in, or else they just upload pre-recorded programming that goes on for 6 hours, and that can happen. You see this on TV all the time where you look at the TV guide on TV and it says paid program, and it goes on and on. And that sort of thing is common. I mean, running 6 hours of paid programming, and since this is a commercial license that BAI has, which is valuable, they can run commercials here because they're not the nonprofit. Pacifica Foundation, which owns BAI, is the nonprofit. So this is something we need to show people, show management, that there are listeners. 1-212-209-2950. Please call us at that number. Call us at that number now. We seriously need to hear from you at this point in time. If you would like to keep having WBAI around, you gotta kick in some dough. And if you don't want to become a BAI buddy, if you want to just make a one-time donation, you can do that too. Call the same number, 1-212-209-2950, and say, I want to make a one-time donation to WBAI in the name of Back of the Book. Again, if you put in a plug for us, it helps. A one-time donation is fine, and a BAI buddy commitment is also fine, where you give it on a monthly basis. 1-212-209-2950. We do need to hear from folks. We need to hear from folks right away. Please, please call the number now. We are not making believe here. There are people who do want to get rid of these overnights. There are people who want to get rid of the entire radio station. The only way we can resist this is if we raise more money, and the only way we could really raise more money is through you, the listeners. Please, final time, 1-212-209-2950. And we'll thank you if you do that. We really need to hear from you. And if you want to, you can write to me, rpm@glib.com, and say that you've donated so that we know you have. Thank you for donating. And that's been it for Back of the Book for this week. And before we go, we want to say get well soon to Pickles of the North's father.
Yes, right now he's in the hospital. And as we're recording this, he's having an operation. So, Dad, I hope everything goes well.
All right. Coming up next is
Ecologic with Ken Gale, Donna Stein, and Sally Gellert.
Okay. I hope we're back next week. It's now the new year, and we can still enjoy more silliness going on in the halls of Congress. You can look out at things and say the days are getting a bit longer now, even though it's a bit chilly, and say sometime soon it will be spring. Take care of yourselves, and above all, remember what that laughing at the Republicans and Ratzinger Dormouse said.
Winding your way down on Baker Street, light in your head and dead on your feet. Well, another crazy day. Drink the night away and forget about everything. This city desert makes you feel so cold. It's got so many people, but
this radio hasn't been working very well the past few days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.
Mixed Up with Peter Beauchamp.
When?
Saturday afternoons at 6 here on WBAI.
That should be time for our favorite program.
Yes, just about time. I should have been back here a long time ago.
What would you do if I went off the air?
We kill ourselves!
The WBAI LSB Outreach and Fundraising Task Forces meets next on Monday, January 9th at 7 p.m. We begin with Meet the Producers, which gives listeners and staff an opportunity to directly converse about a particular program. Our guests will be David Rothenberg of any Saturday and any Monday. Come get involved with plans for your station, including underwriting, program changes, and more. By phone, use any Zoom number, like 646-558-8656, 646-558-8656, our meeting ID, 922-457-2995, or WBAI-LSB-995, that's 922-457-2995. The passcode is like our frequency, 995-995-99. Again, that's Monday, 7 p.m., January 9th with David Rothenberg. More information in the meeting section of WBAI.org.
We've got a big disconnect in our society. For example, if a person's brand, we've had a lot of brand people, and then they eat garbage, we assume, well, what's it matter? You know, they have a brilliant mind. Who cares about, you know, their body? Well, if you could live an extra 20 years and by making better choices, then we get the benefit of that great mind for a longer period of time.
Gary Null speaking about making choices to increase health and well-being at this often stressful time.
We have to look at what we're dealing with, and is everybody equally susceptible? Where everybody had the same outcome if they're infected, and the answer was clearly no.
Null says it's not surprising that he and his team have received numerous inquiries and requests for information about how people can help protect themselves if they get COVID, if they're suffering from long COVID symptoms or have received the COVID vaccines and boosters. He's hosting a webinar you can join this Sunday, January 8th at noon, with health professionals on these questions. And Gary Null will do a Q&A to answer your questions. Please call 212-209-2950 to sign up for the webinar for a suggested contribution of $30 or more. You can go to our website and click on the banner in the center of the page, Gary Null Webinar, and sign up.
I'm happy to help the station. I've been here 45 years, and My biggest concern is the people, whether they choose to do something or not, at least have the information at hand. This is going to be probably the most comprehensive webinar anyone's going to hear.
Sunday, January 8th at 12 noon, call 212-209-2950 and say you want to join the webinar on Sunday for a contribution of $30 or more. The call center will take your information and we will send you a link so you can join. Or you can go to our website in the center of the page, the Gary Null Webinar, Sunday, January 8th at 12 noon. Join leading medical experts as they explain safe and effective protocols and how to